Magnesium plays a critical role in vital bodily functions, including energy production, heart health, immunity, and more restful sleep. Magnesium is ubiquitous in metabolic pathways that affect virtually all organ systems. But magnesium deficiency or insufficiency is one of the most pervasive nutritional problems afflicting the majority of Americans. Ultra-processed foods, many common medications, stress, and medical conditions like diabetes all deplete magnesium. So I'm excited to tell you about MagSRT from Jigsaw Health. MagSRT has rightfully earned a reputation as the most popular, most bioavailable, and best-tolerated magnesium brands in the world. The developers of MagSRT have solved a problem that deters many from getting adequate intake of elemental magnesium. Their unique formulation is gentle on the stomach and doesn't produce unwanted GI effects. For more information and to order MagSRT, just go to JigsawHealth.com. That's JigsawHealth.com. Use coupon code HOFFMAN10 for $10 off your order. That's JigsawHealth.com and use code HOFFMAN10 for MagSRT, time-released magnesium. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today's subject, I think, is pretty much a ubiquitous theme of modern life. It has to do with stress. Who out there is suffering from stress? Probably not that many of you, right? Well, there's a lot to be stressed out about. COVID seems to be receding, but the threat of thermonuclear annihilation is looming, as well as inflation, politics, all manner of stress, in addition to the usual stress of our daily lives. Today, we're going to talk to an expert on the subject of stress. She's my good colleague here in New York. She practices on Long Island. She's Dr. Donnie Wilson. She has a book entitled Master Your Stress, Reset Your Health, The Personalized Program to Calm Anxiety, Boost Energy, and Beat Burnout. And it's a wonderful book. It's really a new, very, very tailored approach to stress, because there's not just one generic approach to stress. Different people experience different types of stress, as we'll get into it. She is a naturopathic physician, a natural health expert called upon to lecture to health professionals and to the public quite often. I didn't know this about you, Donnie. You are a certified professional midwife. Wow.
Yes.
As well as a certified nutrition specialist, a CNS, which I am. In fact, I'm now president of the board for certified nutrition specialists. She graduated Bastyr University in 2000. That's the foremost naturopathic medical school in the country. And she has now developed a stress recovery protocol with which she's helped countless patients. She has written a previous book, The Stress Remedy, which I believe we interviewed you about a few years back. This book is a worthy successor to that, takes the subject further. And she also has a website at drdonnie.com. Doctor is spelled out. Dr. Donnie. Donnie is D-O-N-I. DrDonnie.com. And she has a podcast as well. So the good news is that two experienced podcast people are going to talk to each other. So that should work. Your podcast is called How Humans Heal. So welcome, Donnie. It's a pleasure having you back on Intelligent Medicine. Congratulations about the book. The book, I understand, is just about to be published, but it can be pre-ordered. It's going to drop in May, but a few weeks prior, you can order it through the pre-order it. And you can also go to drdonnie.com and reserve your copy, right?
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me here with you today.
It's my great pleasure. So some of this, parts of your book, I understand that some of this grows out of your own personal growth as a person with stress. You're a mother, you're a practitioner, a teacher, an author. So tell us how that evolved.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I mean, definitely I've experienced burnout more than once in my life. And as a naturopathic doctor and nutritionist, as you explained, I'm always looking at myself at the same way that I'm helping my patients. You know, how can I help myself through this? How do I help my body recover and become more resilient to stress so that I can prevent myself from finding myself in burnout once again? And so definitely, by the time I think the first time I realized I was burned out was when I had finished my training at Bastyr University, and I had been up many, many nights helping women bring their babies into the world as well. And then I had my daughter, who's now 19 years old.
Oh, wow. For our listeners, you know, Tani, you sound quite youthful on the air. But so it's just remarkable that you have a grown-up daughter.
Yeah, my daughter's 19, if you can imagine. Wow. And I when I graduated from Bastyr, it was 2000. I finished my residency in 2001, and then this was out in Seattle, and I moved to the tri-state area, the New York, Connecticut area, right after 9/11, and so I was coming out of medical school burned out and running into a situation of high stress. And I said to myself, how am I going to help myself and my patients through this hugely stressful time period and help them, you know, improve their health? And that's what really continued my interest in stress. Actually, Ron, I think my interest in stress started way before that. I mean, even when I was training as a midwife, my research was in how does stress affect women in labor. And it was so intriguing to me because most women do have a fear of labor. But what I was interested in is women who had a history of, let's say, PTSD or sexual abuse. What was their experience of labor? And how does stress affect us in general in the labor process? And what I found is that, interestingly, we need a certain amount of stress hormones. We need a certain amount of cortisol and adrenaline in order for labor to progress, in order for the baby to come out smoothly. We need a little bit of cortisol and adrenaline. And if we have too much cortisol and adrenaline, too much stress without enough support, labor comes to a standstill. And that's when interventions start to happen. So then when I moved to New York right after 9/11, I said to myself, well, can I apply this same information to all humans that are under stress? Do we, in fact, need an optimal amount of cortisol and adrenaline in order to be resilient, right, and to get through things more efficiently and effectively? And it's only when we have too much cortisol and adrenaline or too much stress exposure and not enough support with stress recovery, that's when our health issues start happening, right? That's when anxiety happens or sleep issues or you name it, digestive issues, immune system issues. That happens when we have too much stress and not enough stress support. And so I've since then, you know, written and researched and worked on this over the subsequent, you know, years, couple decades.
Indeed. And I learned from the book that your father was a pharmacist. So I might argue, why not just use some of the available medications to deal with stress? I mean, among the most popular drugs are drugs that deal with stress, benzodiazepines, SSRIs, and very high double-digit percentage of the population is taking these medications regularly.
And I think that's why they are, is because of how we've been taught to deal with stress. You know, when we go into the conventional medical system and we express, because when we're stressed, we feel anxious, right? We're not sleeping. We maybe feel depressed. Maybe we're having, you know, again, digestive issues and so what's going to happen is a prescription for one of these most commonly prescribed medications that, you know, theoretically helps with stress, but is it really getting to the bottom of it? You know, is it really helping people to resolve the underlying issue and help them prevent further health issues? And so that's where I put my focus, is like, how do we, yes, sometimes those medications are necessary. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely. Thank goodness they exist, because I know they're saving people's lives every day. But what else can we do that gets more to the root of the issue? And I know, yeah, my You would think, I mean, I joke that I grew up in a pharmacy. Essentially, I did, because mm-hmm. I was constantly in the pharmacy with my father. But the thing is that my father really came at it from a perspective. I mean, when he was speaking to my sister and I, it was always, how can we prevent the need for medications whenever possible? Mm-hmm. How can we make dietary choices? How can we take vitamins? How can we spend time outdoors? What can we do to improve our health so that if we need a medication, it's temporary or it's only if necessary? And that's what I took from growing up with a pharmacist, believe it or not.
You know, we all owe a debt to Dr. James Wilson, whom you're very familiar with. He wrote a book entitled Adrenal Fatigue, the 21st Century Stress Syndrome, which is a landmark book that advanced the notion of adrenal burnout or adrenal fatigue. And yet, you're aware of this, it remains highly controversial. For example, I looked it up, and the Endocrine Society, which is the establishment endocrinology authorities, have this to say, and I'm quoting, "There is no scientific proof for the existence of adrenal fatigue as a true medical condition." That's their position. And another website that calls itself Science-Based Medicine calls adrenal fatigue a fake disease. It's not a real condition, they say. So what say you to the pushback on that? Because the naturopaths in some ways and integrated physicians like myself are pitted against conventional doctors in recognizing this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for asking and for pointing that out. I mean, definitely in my training as a naturopathic doctor, we learned about what could be called adrenal fatigue, you know, adrenal exhaustion or maladaptive stress syndrome is what it was called by Hans Selye, who was one of the original physiologists who researched this situation with the adrenal glands. And so I think it's to some degree a matter of terminology, but I also think it's a matter of when I look in an endocrinology textbook, which in naturopathic medical school, we have the same endocrinology textbooks as medical doctors read in their medical school, right? So we're reading the same endocrinology textbook about the adrenal glands. And so what gets expressed there in an endocrinology textbook, as you know, is the extremes of adrenal disruption mm-hmm. or dysfunction, yeah. right? So when the adrenal glands, I say, completely stop working, either they Addison's disease, where they stop making all hormones and, you know, come to a complete halt, or Cushing's syndrome, or Cushing's disease, where they're way overproducing. Mm-hmm. And so we see those are the extremes of adrenal dysfunction. But in actuality, most people, most humans are not in those extremes. Most of us exist in probably the 90% in between those two extremes, where it's that the adrenal glands are still functioning, but they're not functioning optimally. And so I mean, this is after reading all of these, you know, as you mentioned, James Wilson, and I don't know, we have the same last name, Wilson. And in fact, there's others for some reason who've researched adrenal glands who also have the last name Wilson. Sometimes right. I
there's
wonder.
There's a John Wilson as well, who's very scholarly on the subject, but more on the conventional side. Yeah.
I'm not sure if the name Wilson came with this, but what I do is I've renamed it really in the book. This is how I describe it, is instead of calling it adrenal fatigue, I call it adrenal distress, mm-hmm. because to me, that's more accurate of describing that. What we're really saying is there's an imbalance. There's a between mild, moderate, or severe inefficiency of adrenal functioning that happens when humans are exposed to stress and not enough stress recovery. And so to me, adrenal distress is a more accurate way to refer to it at that point, you know, where we're saying, hey, this person's cortisol and adrenaline, because that's what, for anyone who's listening who's not familiar, the job of the adrenal glands, I mean, they do a lot of things, but they make cortisol, they make adrenaline, they make DHEA, and they also make some other hormones and chemicals, but in the interest of stress, it really comes down to the cortisol and adrenaline. And our normal stress response, right? So if our brain perceives stress, it's going to send, well, first it's going to send a signal down to through the sympathetic nervous system to make adrenaline. And then the secondary response is to send a signal to the adrenal glands to make cortisol and more adrenaline. And we need that. This is a built-in stress response humans have. That's our survival mechanism, right? Mm-hmm.
It's a fight or flight. Classic fight or flight, right?
We need it. We need it for our survival. And so we're not trying to say we don't want a stress response, and we're not trying to say we don't want stress either. We need stress, and we need a stress response. But what we're missing, I think, most of the time is the stress recovery, allowing our stress response to turn off and let our bodies reset so that the signaling, you know, continues to work well when we need it. And it's when we're under constant stress that this maladaptive situation occurs, where now the adrenal glands either go into a situation of making more cortisol than is necessary or too little. And the same with the adrenaline, too much or too little. And that's what the distress situation looks like. And it's just not in the endocrinology textbooks. And the way I think about it is endocrinologists are not trained in it. So of course, to them, it doesn't exist because they haven't been taught to look at it.
Yeah, they may ascribe the symptoms to other types of problems, or they may just say, oh, it's just anxiety or depression, which deserves a pharmacological fix. You know, these troubling symptoms that people come in with, you know, I'm stressed, I'm tired, I'm anxious, that is not necessarily viewed as a problem with the what's called the HPA axis, which is the, you know, the regulatory system for dealing with stress involving cortisol and involving norepinephrine or adrenaline. One of the interesting contributions in your book, and it's very nuanced because it's not like a one-size-fits-all approach, is that we need to take an individualized approach to stress. Your stress may differ from my stress. My reaction may be based on a variety of circumstances, including my genetics. So can you give us a little primer on that? Mm-hmm. I know you take a deep dive on that in the book.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, and this really came to me by working with patients. You know, it's even from the perspective of what a lot of people write about when it comes to the adrenals, or what's called adrenal fatigue. They're usually looking at it from a view of over time, right? Like if you look at humans over their lifetime and you're looking at it from a physiological perspective, they'll write about different phases of this adrenal exhaustion that occurs. But what I found in practice, Ron, is that because I'm testing patients' cortisol and norepinephrine levels. So I'm looking at that patient at this moment in time, and I'm saying, what is their cortisol and norepinephrine, epinephrine levels right now at this moment? So I'm taking a cross-sectional view at their stress at this moment and looking at where do they land based on their stress exposure and their genetics, right? And I really, when it comes down to it, ultimately, all of our health issues are based on that, right? We know that we used to think, oh, genetics is a major player, and that's why we had the Human Genome Project that researched, tried to find a gene for every disease, right? And the Human Genome Project ended up showing us that actually genes have very little to do with determining what's going on with our health at this moment in time. Likely, in most cases, less than 20% or even less than 10%. So we can look at the genetics, and they certainly play a role. Our genetics play a role even in how our cortisol responds, our HPA axis, and our adrenaline, and how our adrenaline is metabolized. So looking at the genetics is definitely key. But the majority of our health is determined by what's usually referred to as environment. I would call that our stress exposure, right? Mm-hmm. So most of what causes our gene expression is our stress exposure. And so it's by looking at the combination of our genetics and our stress exposure not only determines our health, but it determines how we uniquely react to stress. And so it ends up that we have a very unique fingerprint or way that our body responds to stress. So when I'm looking at thousands of cortisol and norepinephrine levels, I'm seeing all different patterns, and they fit into, I can fit them into categories. And that's what I write about in the book, is here's these, you know, categories of how it's how common, how, you know, the common ways that people respond to stress, or kind of if we test you at any moment in time, you're likely to be in one of these five types or categories or patterns of stress response.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the core messages of the book. And it's actually a hopeful message because, as you say, your genes are not deterministic in terms of your ultimate stress adaptation. Through various measures, we can tame our, shall we say, vulnerable genes and render us less susceptible to the effects of stress. In your book, you identify five unique stress types. I want to get into that in part two, because I think that that's really the core of the book. The notion that you can actually categorize people according to how they react to stress. And there's actually some objective metrics for that. It's not just, well, you know, how they feel, subjective things. Okay, that's important. But through measuring adrenaline and cortisol, you can actually create subcategories of stress responders. I think that that's a really important message. So let's discuss that in part two. Our listeners know that we divide our podcast into two parts. Today's guest is Dr. Donnie Wilson. She's a naturopathic physician. She's a certified nutrition specialist, and she is a great communicator. And she has a new book just out. Actually, you can pre-order it. It's Master Your Stress, Reset Your Health, the personalized program to calm anxiety, boost energy, and beat burnout. And her name is spelled D-O-N-I, so it's Dr. Spell it out. DrDonnie.com, and there you can pre-order the book, and also through the usual sites, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc. We'll talk more about the subject of stress and the five stress types that she outlines in the book when we return. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.